And our guest in the cafe this morning is our wellness commentator, Dr. Velvet Womack. And Velvet is the owner of Balanced Nutrition in Rockwall. Good morning.
Good morning.
So kind of hot.
Oh, really hot, isn't it?
Have you heard?
I've heard. I felt.
So I thought we would talk about the effects of heat on the human body and maybe even our mental state as we go through this hot summer. It seems to me when you first get out into the hot weather, that's the worst of it. You know, you walk out of an air-conditioned, although sometimes I must say, I have been in buildings, and this was true here on campus here the other day, that it was quite cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually felt good, you know, to walk out of that that heat for a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, when we get out into it, that, you know, coming out of a cool environment, that's a shock.
It's a shock on our system. Our body actually has to regulate itself, right? And it's been comfortable. And it almost feels like you're an ice cube and you go outside and you start to extremely melt.
Yeah. So dealing with the fact that we live in an air-conditioned world, most of us, and cars are air-conditioned and certainly the buildings, makes it in some respects makes it more difficult to deal with the heat.
Yeah, to acclimate, right? So we were talking earlier that some countries, they don't have all that AC, right? And they're able to tolerate hot temperatures up to even 114, 115 degrees and just be able to have their continued day. Whereas with us here, we just feel like that we're not able to acclimate as easy because your body is going to have a set point based on what it's used to.
Mm-hmm.
So what we should do when we come up to this heat is to make sure that we're protecting ourselves, that we're not having signs and symptoms of either a heat stroke or a heat exhaustion.
Mm-hmm. And what's the difference? Heat stroke and heat exhaustion. Heat exhaustion is the first stage.
Right. You're still perspiring with heat exhaustion. You know, you're going to become tired. You might become dizzy even. But when you start moving into the heat stroke, you're no longer perspiring. There might have been profuse perspiring before that, but you're not perspiring anymore. There's confusion, and you can actually lose consciousness.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Velvet Womack, and Velvet is our wellness commentator. You were saying you had a person who was helping you out at your place a while back and suffered heat stroke.
Right. And it's interesting, too, because, he was out there working with our horse, right? And so just working right along, it was a very windy day. Now, this is something the listeners need to hear. It was a very windy day, but he was still out in the heat. So what it was doing, it was drying him. It was drying him as he was perspiring. So when he came in to get the water, there was no perspiration, but he kind of sat there at the chair. And when I asked, did he want ice water or did he want lemonade? There was no sound coming from him. So when I removed his glasses, I realized he was unconscious already, sitting up unconscious. So the article even talks about how a fan actually is worse for us than better, because what it's doing is it's drying us. And when we become dry is when we're more susceptible to the heat stroke.
Hmm. In this article that you brought to me, that last question is, are modern humans neglecting to do something our ancestors did to survive the heat? And I don't know that the answer to that question is all that satisfactory, but I do think our predecessors were better adapted to dealing with it because they had to deal with it. They didn't
well,
have a choice.
Yeah, they did have to deal with it. And also, we have to remember that our population is a lot denser than what theirs was in the time. So it was easier for them to cool off. We've got a lot of people moving into the cities. We have a lot more cars on the road. That's all going to add to our heat.
Mm-hmm. You, and we're almost out of time, but you mentioned how your home is built.
Yes.
And I think we could probably do with homes that are built taking into account
right
the weather that we have and allowing for more of a breeze and what have you through the home. Of course, again, we're going to rely on AC. It's hard to get people off of that, but tell about your house.
Yeah, and my husband deliberately did this too. He placed it facing the south because we get south winds a lot. So our house is designed to where the pitch is high, but windows line both the whole south side of the home and the whole north side of the home. Now, we also have doors and windows on the east and the west, but it was designed to have it so where we could completely open it up and allow that air, that the house just to breathe is what I like to say.
A flow through of the breeze through the house. I love that. Mm-hmm. I think more houses should be built that way. Velvet, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us again.
All right, thank you. I'll take the tea instead.
A little iced tea instead of the coffee. It's not a bad idea. And your story of the day with Morning Edition on your station 88.9 KETR.